Welcome to The Calling, a new podcast from St. James Episcopal Church in Skaneateles. On this show, we'll share music, scripture, thoughts for your life, and we'll also hang out with local folks who are passionate about the way they feel called to take care of their community. So, without further delay, there's a call coming in. Are you listening? Welcome to the very first episode of The Calling, brought to you by St. James Episcopal Church in Skaneateles. I will be your host, Michael Larkin. I am the Director of Contemporary Music and Technology at St. James and one of the producers of this podcast, along with Laura Pasesnik, Director of Congregational Life and Children's Ministry. Each episode will feature an interview with a different community leader, talking about the ways that they are passionate about building that community. But before we get to that, we'll read some scripture, we'll talk about the message, and meditate with some music. And hopefully, if we've done our job correctly, it'll all fall under the umbrella of a unique theme for each episode. So let's get started. Today, we're reading Psalm 130. Lord, I am in deep trouble, so I am calling to you for your help. My Lord, listen to me. Listen to my cry for help. Lord, if you punished people for all their sins, no one would be left alive. But you forgive people, so they fear and respect you. I am waiting for the Lord to help me. My soul waits for him. I trust what he says. I am waiting for my Lord, like a guard, waiting and waiting for the morning to come. Israel, trust in the Lord. The Lord is the one who is faithful and true. He saves us again and again, and he is the one who will save the people of Israel from all their sins. Now, that passage seems to be a lot about faith, which might strike you as odd when you hear that today's theme is actually hope. But Hebrews 11 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith in God fuels our ability to hope, and hope allows us to manage stress and anxiety, cope with adversity, and ultimately have a positive impact in our lives and on the world around us. And that's really what this podcast is about. Local folks whose hope and passion for building a better community have a positive impact on the world around them. So as you listen to this episode and those that follow, maybe keep that theme in mind. How can your hope for something better actually affect real change? And with that theme in mind, I have chosen In Christ Alone, which again is also about faith, but as we've already discussed, those two things seem to be pretty inseparable. You're about to hear a version of this song that I arranged and that was part of probably numerous worship services at St. James at this point. And in case you're curious, all of the music that will appear on this podcast is licensed to us for streaming by Christian Copyright Licensing International. Here is In Christ Alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He's my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross Jesus died. The wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. Body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from.
So most of our guests on the show will be local community-minded activists that are tied to something outside the church. And during our chats with them, we will focus on their missions. But this first interview is with Reverend Dr. Becky Kerper, the rector here at St. James. Thanks for joining us today, Becky.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for putting your faith in Laura and I to produce this podcast under St. James' banner, despite having no idea what you're getting yourself into.
I know, that's pretty scary.
Well, before we get started, let's spend a little time talking about you. I think it might be interesting for our listeners to hear about the journey that brought you to where you are. Did you always know you wanted to be a priest? Where did you first find that inspiration? And how did you get from there to Skinny Atlas?
So my dad was a Presbyterian minister, so didn't even grow up Episcopalian. But when I was small, I would say 5 or 6, I did know what I wanted to be when I grew up. I either wanted to be a garbage man, because the guy who drove the garbage truck had the coolest truck, or a minister. I think probably inspired by my dad. I didn't think about being ordained until I arrived in college. And that dream, or that sense of what I was perhaps supposed to do, got delayed by getting married and having family first. And in my late 30s, I began working for an Episcopal priest. And it was in the course of that work that other people began to say to me, "Have you thought about the priesthood?" And that began a journey of praying and questioning and wondering if it was where I was supposed to be.
So it wasn't just one day you woke up, it was a long,
It was a really long journey, and it was, it kind of came and went. There were long periods of years when I had no idea that maybe that was where I would end up.
Well,
I even went to library school for a while.
Library school?
Yeah,
wow.
I was going to get a master's in library, library degree. And what stopped that was when I realized that a really good librarian really should prefer that people never touch the books.
And that wasn't you?
That wasn't me.
Okay. You joined us here at St. James in September of 2010. What has changed organizationally or spiritually in this congregation since then?
Oh, wow. I think a lot has changed. Probably the heart and the character of the congregation is the same as it was. The people here are the people here, and they are open and welcoming and engaged. I think that hasn't changed at all. What has changed is that our reach has expanded, and some of that happened during the pandemic. I think we're very clear that part of what we are about is equipping and empowering lay people and anybody who's interested to to take leadership or to learn or to grow. I think people are more clear that when you come here, your life is going to change and deepen in your faith. That's just really exciting to me, that whenever someone says, I have changed so much and grown so much in my faith since I've come to St. James, and I think that's something that's really clear. I also think that people understand that when we have a sense of looking at something new that we might do, that the process that gets us there is prayer and discernment and conversation. And I think we are a community that really understands that we're a place of grace.
Grace is necessary in this most stressful of times.
Yeah.
And I also feel, as you bring that up, I also feel like my spiritual journey has certainly made some miles since I've been here. So I would agree with anyone who says that.
But, so has mine.
Yeah, that's good. I imagine that some of the changes that have taken place over the past 12 years have made it more possible for St. James to make an impact in the community. What are some of your favorite ways that St. James builds community here in Skinny Atlas?
Well, we're in May. We're in the midst of the month of community service. We started doing days of community service probably 8 years ago. And I think the inspiration for that is the idea that you give a person an opportunity to very easily go and learn about a place of service in the community. And people go, they try things, they find a mission or an outreach that inspires them, and they become engaged and our connections in the community as a result of that have really grown. I think one of the places that has been most clear is in our relationship with Merriman Circle and the rescue mission. That's a partnership for us that is very meaningful.
And we are going to interview Gary Mann on this show.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
So at this point in future episodes, our next segment will be a game where we ask our guests questions about a field that is only superficially related to their area of expertise. We've decided to save you that embarrassment today and instead ask you questions about something you should know.
Oh, no.
Your own staff.
Oh, yay.
Okay, so I've put 2 minutes on the clock. Here we go. You probably would be surprised to hear it, but this staff member holds a black belt in Taekwondo.
Is that you?
No, it's Nick. I do have a black belt, but it's in Okinawan karate, not Taekwondo.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, Dr. Nicholas Kilkenny, our media engineer. This staff member once named the family dog after the Wonder Years character Winnie Cooper.
Nicole Bova.
Yes. You
really?
Got one right. You got one right. All right. Question number three. Somewhat shockingly, this staff member used to drive 18-wheelers and other heavy-duty trucks for a living.
Oh, Melissa Thompson.
No. Me.
You. Yeah.
Number four. Speaking of driving, this staff member once drove a jet ski almost 60 miles an hour.
Oh, that would be Kip.
Oh, how did you know that? He wasn't supposed to give me things you would know.
No, I knew that.
Number five, this staff member used to serve raw eggs to children.
Ew. Nancy?
Yes, Nancy. She was a teacher, and she would distribute eggs and baby dolls to children to teach them how to take care of kids.
That's terrible.
I know. You might not know it, but this staff member is a huge fan of professional wrestling.
Danae Heidi.
No, I would have guessed that too, but it's Laura, our director of Congregational Life and Children's Ministry.
I don't believe
ministry.
That.
Yeah, Laura Pesesnik. Despite having migrated to other sporting pastimes in recent years, this staff member used to suit up for their college's lacrosse team.
Oh, is that Melissa?
No, that's Danielle.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Communications and web assistant Danielle Larkin. This staff member has lived in Skinny Atlas since age 3, but they were born in Colorado.
That's Danae.
That's Danae, exactly. Yes. And finally, one member of your staff broke an arm jumping on the couch.
Who have I left out? Chuck.
It was Deacon Chuck Stewart.
Oh, that's a riot.
So I've got one final question for you, one serious question. This might be more of a directive from you to me than anything else, but what do you hope our listeners will get out of tuning into this show?
Something that can encourage them and inspire them in everyday life. These last 2.5 or maybe 10 years of the pandemic, I think have put a lot of heaviness and discouragement and even hopelessness on people. And to listen to something brief that's easily accessible that would give someone encouragement to go out and try again or try something new or have renewed hope in the possibility of the future, I think is really important.
I agree very much. Well, if you want to learn more about what we're doing, like this here, or any of the other activities that we do at St. James, you can find out on our Facebook page or at stjamesscan.org. Thanks for joining us today, Becky.
Thanks for having me.
The Calling is written, edited, and hosted by me, Michael Larkin, for St. James Episcopal Church in Skaneateles, New York. The Calling drops every other Thursday, so take a moment, chew on what we've shared here today, and we'll see you again in 2 weeks when we talk to Meg O'Connell from the Allen Foundation. And remember, the things you are passionate about are not random. They are your calling.